Blog Talk Radio.
Warriors, come out to play. Warriors, come out to play.
They listen to Inside the Park. Inside the park. The RSG family. My usual suspects with me. Hot baseball topic. We're just going to jump right into it. I always talk.
Gambling. What do you think about gambling? It's not gambling when you know you're
going to
win.
He's not coming out. Wait. The RSG family. You're listening to Inside the Park. Inside the park.
Welcome back. It's been a long time, but happy to report baseball is back. I've got the whole team. We're back in effect. Hey, say what's up to the people real quick.
What's up? You guys, we're here first. It's 31313. Inside the Park is back on the air, boys, and I can't wait.
What you got, Mike?
I'm just adding up those numbers. I'm working on math after Hank threw that addition problem at me. I'm in 1-3-3-1. I think it's 12. I'm not sure, man. I'm good, though.
There you go.
As you see, we got Mike in mid-season form already. Baseball season is heating up. Season's heating up. If spring training isn't your thing, you got the World Baseball Classic to whet your appetite before the season gets started. Mike, what got you excited about this 2013 season, my man?
Wow, 2013, it's just nice to be back. You know what? First of all, with baseball come spring, come summer, I'm tired of being cold. I know you guys are tired of being cold. I want some grass. I want some sun. I'd like to see a temperature over 40 degrees. I just want to watch some baseball and, you know, put this winter behind me. I'm ready to play.
How about you, Hank? Is there anything you're looking forward to this year?
Everything I'm looking forward to this year. We've got a fine team here in the state of Michigan in Detroit. We've got realignment again, I guess, with Houston coming to the American League. We've got just so much that's going on. It's going to be a lot of stuff that's happening in the offseason. It's going to be an exciting season. I can't wait.
Indeed. Season ended for Hank and I on a bit of a sour note with Tigers getting swept out of the World Series. But we're reloaded. We're back at it. And with that being said, man, let's jump on into it. So, everybody, I want you guys to strap in. We've got 3 weeks before the season starts. 3 weeks. So what we're going to do is we're going to break down each division for you in those 3 weeks. We're going to do two tonight, two next week, and two the week before, getting you right into the season. That way we'll have caught you up on all the squads, and you'll know what to look out for, what to close your eyes when you see somebody coming up to bat. We're going to have you fully loaded. So tonight, let's start with the West, fellas, the AL West, NL West, and we're going to start with the senior circuit. So I want to throw it out to you, fellas, man. Starting in the AL West, who's the best? Who do you guys think is the best player in the AL West? And we'll kick it off with Hank. Who do you got as the best player in the West?
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, all winter long, I've been hearing about Mike Trout being the best player in the West. I will go along with that only when we see what happens to him this year. But right now, I'm going to say that the best player in the West is going to be Josh Hamilton. I think Josh Hamilton going over to the Angels is going to be a breath of fresh air. This man is a 5-tool player when he's right. I think that him being with the Angels, being out in La La Land with Pujols and with Trout, I think that he's going to show to be the best player out there.
Okay, that's one for Josh Hamilton. Mike, where are you at?
I'm going to stick on the same team, but I think Mike Trout's the best player. You know, adding Hamilton's bat to the lineup, I think, just adds more opportunities for him to run. It's about a good team getting better and allowing him to continue to hit one or two in the lineup. You know, you bring Hamilton in, you allow Trout to do what he does really well. And so there's a lot of pressure off that kid's shoulders now.
Okay, well, let's keep the love fest going. I'm with you, Mike, with Mike Trout. I wanted really badly to give it to Adrian Beltre, but I looked at Mike Trout's numbers last year, and I realized he's moving from center field to left field, so his defensive value is going to go down a bit. But those numbers, man, and mind you, I'm factoring into his numbers this year that he'll decline just a tad, you know, sophomore slump. I mean, the rookie numbers he put up were epic. I don't think he'll replace that. But even still, man, if he just has a small decline, he's still the best player in my eyes in that division, with Adrian Beltre being a close second. Hank, I'm a little shocked you went with Josh Hamilton, man. You think him leaving that Texas ballpark where the balls fly out of there, you think he'll still put up quality numbers in L.A.?
Well, here's what I think about when I look at L.A. I look at a couple of things. Number one, I look at the leadership of Albert Pujols on that team. I think Josh Hamilton – I don't think Josh Hamilton is leadership quality, personally. And I think that he has to have people around him that's going to kind of keep him on the straight and narrow a little bit. I think that, you know, with Mike Scioscia's leadership at the manager's point, I think that you will see him kind of like he's going to have a chip on his shoulder. He's going to have something to prove. So those are the reasons why I think that he's going to be that player that kind of carries it all the way through the season. Also, I'm also very concerned about the sophomore slump that we always talk about with these players, especially the season that Mike Trout had last year. You know, they're going to have a book on him this year. And to take nothing away from his defensive prowess, again, now he's going to be playing 162 games. And he's not going to be a surprise in the league. So those are some reasons that I think you have to watch out for this year.
Okay. Mike, who you got down for best pitcher in the division?
Well, it's King Felix, man. A little continuity from last year. If I'm starting a baseball team last year, I'm picking King Felix. I'm going with King Felix. Trying to do a long-term deal. He showed he's a workhorse. He's consistent. And I think he's the best pitcher in the division.
I think this one might be unanimous. I'm with King Felix as well. Hank, are you throwing a monkey wrench in this one, or is King Felix RSG certified?
I can't throw a monkey wrench into this one. You know, the only other pitcher that you can put out there is probably going to be Jared Weaver, but he's a basket case, man. So, you know, you got to look at King Felix, especially what he's doing in Seattle pretty much by himself. And so, yeah, absolutely.
3 for 3. There it is. Let's keep it moving. Best bullpen, and I'll throw it to you on this one, Hank. Who you got for the best bullpen in that division?
Oh, you know, that's a tough one. But I'm going to have to look at the Texas Rangers. I think the Texas Rangers, you know, the back end of their bullpen is still very, very strong. Now, where they're struggling a lot with is with their starting pitching. You know, they got Yu Darvish, but they've got some guys in the back end that I still think are very strong. I think Alexi Ogando is still there, and he's a Tiger killer. So, you know, we know all about him, RJ. So I'm going to go with the Rangers.
Okay. And with this category, I think you could go, and there were a couple of different ways you could go. I actually went with Oakland A's. I love what Billy Beane does with his bullpen. He understands that you don't have to spend a lot of money on relief pitchers, on guys who are just going to come out and throw, you know, less than an inning typically. So they have a quality bullpen. The bullpen is what helped catapult them into the playoffs last year. He's finding guys on the cheap. One of his best relievers last year was actually a guy he converted from a first baseman who couldn't hit. So he said, hell, you can't hit. We're going to make you a pitcher. And, I just like what Billy Beane has done with that bullpen on the cheap. How about you, Mike? Where are you at?
You know, I agree with you. I like the A's on this. The thing that worries me about, first of all, I don't think there's any head and shoulders best closer out there in the division right now. So there's no dominant bullpen. The thing that gets me about the A's, and especially with bullpen help in general, is it's so unpredictable year to year. And if you told me to go down the list of the A's bullpen right now and find two or three guys that I'm betting the bank on, they're going to be good, you know, I can't do it. You know, if it's Grant Balfour, who's had spurts where, you know, he's been real good, but he's never been A1 closer yet in my mind, I think it's a pretty weak crop of bullpens, to be honest with you. I know Oakland did put up the second-best ERA in the AL last year, but I think that may have been some magic done by Billy Beane, and that's tough to repeat a second year.
Indeed it is. Bullpens are very fickle, but we gotta get somebody from you. Who are you going with?
I'll go with Oakland because, you know what, second-best ERA in the American League for a bullpen. That was one of the reasons that they won it last year. They won close games. That bullpen kept them in it. And until they fail, you know, I think they're the best option.
All right. It seems like me and you are on the same page. We've been on the same page all night. Let's shake this up, man. You're uncomfortable feeling for me.
Simpatico. Two versus one, right?
All night. Let's go.
Thanks for picking that sore thumb out as usual. Best manager, I got Mike Socha. Who you got, Mike?
Yeah, Socha's the guy. He's been doing it for 10 years now, maybe a little bit longer. Fantastic manager. So, to me, that's an easy one.
Hey?
I'm going to stick my thumb out this time. I'm going to go with Bob Melvin. I think that, and to take nothing away from Socha, he's a tremendous manager. He's got tremendous talent. On the other hand, you look at what Melvin has to work with, okay, and what he has with the A's. I don't think anybody is sleeping on the A's this year, and I think that the job that he did in what you can arguably be the toughest division in baseball to get that team to the playoffs. I don't think it's a fluke, and I think he's probably the best manager because of that.
Are you giving him that off of that just 1 year?
Yeah, I am.
Socha has rings behind him now.
Huh?
Socha has rings behind him.
I'll tell you why. Because, again, you know, he overcame the Angels, which is more talented, the Texas Rangers, which are more talented. Okay, the A's were expected to finish last in that division. Okay? And, you know, you got to be able to make some moves in the course of a 162-game season. It wasn't like it was a fluke for it. Where he had Brandon Inge on that team, RJ, and they made the playoffs. Yeah, I think he's the best manager in the division.
Over 1 year.
Okay, let's look at what the other teams got. And you got to look at – are you asking what's going on with their front office, where they're bringing players down there and making them do some things? No, this is Billy Ball, okay? Outside of Cespedes, you know, you didn't have a whole lot of guys that you didn't hear about until September. So what happened? Yeah, after 1 year. If we're going to give it to Mike Trout as the best player in the West after 1 year, yeah, I'm going to give it to Bob Melvin as the best manager in the West after 1 year.
All right.
Jury's out on both.
All right, how about since you're feeling the A's right now in this wonderful year they had, who you got for best GM?
Well, I think the best GM has got to go to the Angels GM. And I say that because they made the move in the West. They got Josh Hamilton. Josh Hamilton. And, you know, with Mike Trout, he brought up Mike Trout last year. You got Josh Hamilton. You've also got Albert Pujols. I mean, my guy. They won 94 games last year. So, you know, that team has made some moves. They made some incredible moves. For the most part, the A's stood pat. For the most part, the Rangers, regressed a little bit. So that's what I see. I see it for the Angels.
What's his name?
I don't know. Hey, man, I'll tell you.
So it sounds like you're really feeling this Josh Hamilton sighting, huh?
I think listen, think about this now. Okay, you've been battling the Rangers all year, okay? You finished third in the division, all right? What do you do then after that? You go and get probably the stud of that team and bring them to your squad. So if you can't beat them, join them. you know, or the other way around. And it just amazes me that that's what they were able to do. Not only did they get Josh Hamilton, but against a division rival. A division rival. I know money talks, but, I mean, just look at the body of work over the course of the last couple of years. Now, they had Zach Greinke for a minute. Okay, they couldn't sign him. But they had him there with Jared Weaver. Okay, you had AJ, AJ Wilson, and now you go and you got Josh Hamilton to go along with Mike Trout, to go along with Albert Pujols, and so you let Torrey Hunter go. Those are some pretty shrewd moves in my book. Now, again, they have not played a game yet. But to start the season, you have to say that because of that move, the Angels are on a lot of experts, you know, board to finish the West in first place. And a lot of them got them going to the World Series.
All right, Mike, who you got as the best GM in the division?
Billy Bean. Or should I am that one, you know, the dude with the pants. He wears green.
Yeah, well, that's why you said Billy Bean, because name the rest of them.
You mean the guy that made the movie about that guy? Yeah.
The dude.
I'm surprised you didn't say Brad Pitt.
And you know, Jerry DePoto, Hank. His name is Jerry DePoto.
Okay.
Thank you.
I agree. I have a tough time naming a lot of those guys as well. But I would tell you this. You know, last year we talked about Josh Hamilton and the signing, and we thought that whoever gave him $100 million multiple-year contract was going to overpay and going to be sorry for that or had a real high possibility. I think the signing of Hamilton is an incredibly risky move for the Angels. They're going to have, Pujols, they're going to have $50 million committed in salary to those two guys. Pujols, who had admittedly an average year for him, a pedestrian one, and Hamilton, you know, he disappeared for 2 months last year. That could drown that team, not necessarily save them.
Yeah, you know, we're getting a bit ahead of ourselves. I was going to talk about Hamilton a little later, but I'm right on board with you. The risk is way too large for me. I mean, we're talking about a guy who missed time last year because he drank too much coffee and it affected his eyes. Josh Hamilton gets injured every year like clockwork, and I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have done it. I applauded John Daniels, the GM of Texas, for letting him walk. So I'm not as enamored as you, Hank, with that signing.
Listen, I'm just saying that when you look at what you have to do to get better in your division, okay, first and foremost, you got to make the playoffs. So what did the Angels do? They went and got the biggest piece from a division rival. Okay, now you're going to sit here and tell me today that the Texas Rangers are better without Josh Hamilton? I'm going to tell you no. Okay, and I'm going to say that with him being with the Angels, does that make the Angels better? And does that put them better than the A's, who also made a division in that, made the playoffs in that division? I'm going to say yeah. Now, you're right. You know, he's off injured, but he doesn't have to be the man for that team. He doesn't have to be the man for that team. Okay, they've already got the man. Okay, they got the machine and they got the kid. So he becomes a piece, which makes a lot of sense. Plus, being in La La Land, as we all know, Los Angeles is spending money like crazy this year on baseball players, both teams. But that's another story for another time.
That's not always the key to winning. That's I think that's my argument. But we'll keep it moving. Breakout player of the year. For me, I'm going with the guy that I picked last year to win rookie of the year. He had a down season, kind of let me down. But this year they're moving the fences in. I don't think he'll be trying as hard to bring to the game that slugging prowess that so many people anticipated he would have. I'm going Jesus Montero as my breakout player. I think he's going to bounce back from a pretty rough year and put up some numbers similar to what he did when he was in the Yankees organization. Mike, who's your breakout player of the year?
I did take the easier route here. I thought about Montero. You know, he only hit .228 last year. Now he's coming off the injury. A lot of talent there. I just don't think there's a lot in the lineup to protect him with. Puts a lot of pressure on a young player. A guy who was good last year. I think he's going to really elevate his game and become more of a superstar. And that's Yenis Cespedes. Pronunciation, please forgive me. But this is a really talented kid here on a good team. I think his power is going to continue to improve. He's going to put some more weight on and, you know, be able to drive the ball a little bit more. But he's going to be a little bit more high profile in a division that has a lot of stars in it. I think he's going to hold his own.
Yeah, he had a monster year. He was right under, right there for rookie of the year had it not been for Mike Trout and maybe a couple off games from Yu Darvish. I think he could actually make an all-star team this year. I see big numbers for Seth Pettis. How about you, Hank? Who'd you go with for breakout player?
Mike stole my thunder. I was going to say Yoenis Cespedes, too, because you can just see, you know, right towards the end of the year, he was starting to figure it out. And he is a superstar in the making. I mean, he's got a lot going on. He's got to learn how to hit that, you know, breaking pitch a little bit better. But, again, you could just see, you know, he was somebody you wanted to watch. You wanted to watch every time he came up to plate and everything, and when he got out on the field. So, you know, Mike, you stole it from me. I had Cespedes as well.
It was just intuition. I was taking your lead, you know. You laid it out there perfectly for me, Hank. I can't say thank you enough. You know, I'm just following the path that you already put out there for me, man.
Well, you're lucky. Well, you're welcome.
All right.
we'll give you first crack at this one, Hank. Who you got for a fading star? And this is a guy. I'm not saying that he's going to have a bad year next year, but this is a guy you might want to, you know, take your son or daughter out to go see because the end is near. Not saying he's going to be bad this year, but he's right around the corner from falling off a cliff. Who you got?
You know what? That's a good question. And I thought long and hard on this one, long and hard. And this is going to sound kind of crazy, but I'm going to say it. I'm going to say Albert Pujols. I'm saying Albert Pujols because, number one, because of age. Number two, it did take Albert a long time to get it together last year. And, you know, we look for him to be that machine, and even though I've said he doesn't have to be the man, I think he'll be more of a leadership thing. But I think it's going to start going south on Albert. So I'm going a little bit crazy here. I'm going to say Albert Pujols.
Okay. Sticking your neck out there a little bit. How about you, Mike?
Well, you know, I agree with Pujols. I think that's a solid choice for it. You know, I'll go a little bit different direction in this, and I'm going to tell you that it's King Felix. I think he's got a lot of wear on that. I think he's going to have a good year. But I'm always afraid with, you know, 7-8 year contracts with kids that have been pitching 200 innings for the last 6 years, eventually the tread wears thin on that tire. And, you know, there's not a lot of pitchers historically who have pitched at that level, that many innings from a young age and been able to do it for a long time. So I'd say that the odds on him possibly, you know, coming back to earth, maybe having some injury issues are pretty high.
Okay, that's a shocker. Let me throw this at you, Mike. He signed a 7-year deal. How many years into this deal does Seattle regret that they signed him?
At the rate he's at now, I bet you, and here's what I think with him, I think he's someone, he's young enough that if he does have some arm issues, that he can miss a year or two or have some partial years and come back and be real strong. From a salary perspective, if I was the GM, let me be more specific. If I was Jack Zadurianchik, the general manager of the Mariner.
Did you look that up?
I would have traded him last year and gotten a ton of young players and done it. Right now I have a shining diamond surrounded by a bunch of horse apples. So I think they regret it early because if anything goes wrong with him whatsoever, they're toast. So I say they're going to regret that 2 or 3 years down the line.
Wow. You're putting your neck out there. Hopefully we'll still be on the air so we can revisit that one.
He needs to have a team around him. Even if he doesn't get hurt, if he's the only person on your team and you got $25 million to one guy and you can't field a winning team, that's a bad model.
Yeah, I hear you. I see that one paying off maybe 5 years down the line. I believe in King Felix. He's got a big frame. I can see him doing it for 5 more years. I'm going Josh Hamilton. I'm going Hank's guy. I think 2 years into this deal, L.A., after 2 years is going to regret it. I think he's going to continue to be an injury issue waiting to happen. I don't like him moving from a ballpark where the balls fly out of there to California. We've seen what that hot air does to Albert Pujols' numbers. I think Josh Hamilton is going to he's not going to be as big of a power hitter as he was in Texas. And I think two, three years in, they'll regret that deal. So if you're out there, if you're, you know, got California or L.A. Angels coming to town, I would say go take your kids to see Josh Hamilton now while you can. next question for you guys. I want to know what the largest question mark is going this year in the AL West. And just to give you an example, for me, my largest question in that division is the Angels' rotation. I think it's a sketchy rotation. After you get past Jared Weaver, C.J. Wilson has kind of been hit or miss thus far with the Angels. And then at 3 through 5, there's the 3 through 5 pitchers that, you know, good luck. Good luck. You're going to have to win 10 to 9 with those guys on the hill. So while, you know, everybody's praising the Angels, Hank's over there licking his chops, can't wait to see all these guys hitting the ball, I think that their starting rotation is the biggest question in the division for me. How about you, Hank?
You know what? I'm going to go a different approach. I think the biggest question in that division is how good is Texas going to be? And actually, it's a two-part question. How good is Texas going to be, and is Ron Washington on the hot seat? You know, now this is the team that was supposed to be the toast of the American League last year, and they collapsed down the stretch. Okay, now this year they've got what you probably want to call addition by subtraction. You know, Napoli is gone, Josh Hamilton is gone, and yet they're still expected to, you know, be a contender in that West. And it's going to be interesting to see what the Rangers bring this year. They still got a formidable pitching staff, you know, headed by Yu Darvish. They still got Nelson Cruz over there, and they still got some big boppers, you know. Then all of a sudden, and they've also got the young rookie over there, Jurickson Profar, and Andrews. So they got some talent, but how good are they going to be? And if they don't, you know, make a splash in the playoffs, you know, is that it for Ron Washington?
Okay, Mike, what's your largest question in the division? Mike, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. For me, it's the A's across the board. You look at their lineup, they're still going to have trouble scoring runs. You look at their staff, and there's just not a lot of improvement. You know, when you're depending on Bartolo Colon as your 3-4, you know, I just don't – it's going to be tough for them to repeat. You know, there was kind of lightning in a bottle last year. I'd be surprised if they can do that again this year, see if they're competitive, especially with, you know, Texas and Anaheim really dominating. Oh, I'm sorry, Los Angeles dominating. So I'm interested to see what Oakland can do.
Okay. We got three different ones. So this should be interesting, man. I want to ask you guys, who's your surprise team in the division? And that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, it could be who you guys think will have a good sleeper season or a team who's expected to do well. That may backslide a little bit. Hank, who's your surprise team this year, good or bad?
I'm going to say Oakland, and I'm saying that because I still believe Oakland's got a decent team. I think that they got some nice young talent. Again, you got Cespedes there, you've got some nice young pitching there, and you know while you can you don't think they have enough talent. Again, some of the question marks you have for the big boppers in that division, Oakland could sneak in the back door again. So I'm going to say that it's Oakland because they're the big wild card.
So they're surprised you're saying they're going to have a good season again.
I think Oakland's going to have a good season. I don't think last year was a fluke. I think Oakland did a lot of good things well. They played good defense. They pitched well. They got timely hits, you know, and you don't expect the pitching to diminish too much, and you expect them to still play good defense. So I still think they'll still be there a little bit.
Okay. Mike, Hank's over here cherry picking. He's picking the team that won the division last year to win again, and that's a surprise. hopefully you play this game a little better. My surprise.
Hold on, stop. I got to say this now before you go on with that. Now, you let that. Listen, they are not expected to finish and win that division this year, okay? They were the quietest teams or one of the quietest teams in the West. So for them to win the division next year would be equally as surprising. So, yeah.
All right. Mike, who you got? Mike's tapped out again. What's up?
That's what I keep hitting mute. My fault. I think it was Hank. anyway, my surprise is that I think the Rangers are going to come through. I think they're going to win this division. I think they're not going to miss a beat. I think they've done it before. They'll continue to win. And this is a consistent 90-plus win team. But with the subtraction of Hamilton, I think they're still going to do well. And so, to me, I look for them to maintain the excellence that they've had going.
Okay. My surprise is going to be the Angels, and the surprise is that they will not win the division and they will not make the playoffs. Everybody's high on the Angels. I'm not, and for that reason, there you have it. So, we're going to wrap this up with the AL West. Real quick, fellas, Mike, tell me the order that these guys are going to finish in. Or don't. Hank, who you got?
Okay, here's mine. I believe it's going to be the Texas Rangers, the Angels, the A's, and Seattle and Houston.
So your surprise team is finishing in third place.
Finishing in third place, but I just don't think they got enough down the stretch. But I think they're going to raise enough hell, RJ, down the stretch to make it interesting.
And how many teams make the playoffs in that division?
Two.
Two?
Two.
All right. Mike, are you prepared to share with your listeners or waiting with bated breath, or should I just get into mine?
I was signing that entire thing for our deaf listeners out there. You missed it. I had a very nice soliloquy. I had a tribute at the beginning of it, but never mind. You ruined it. I'm going to go with the Rangers in first, Anaheim in second, Oakland. Seattle ahead of Oakland, and then Houston bringing up the rear.
Okay. And how many squads get in the playoffs from this division for you?
You know what? I say two, just because two. I'll go with two.
Okay. And did you catch that Hank's surprise team was finishing in third place in his standings?
Well, I was surprised that that was his surprise team, so he's accomplished the goal right there.
Well, there you go.
my order is the same as yours, Hank. I got Texas, L.A., Oakland, Seattle, Houston bringing up the rear. Only difference is I only have Texas getting into the playoffs this year. I'm a no-go on the Angels. And I think we got a little bit more time for the AL West, so let's do rapid fire. Listeners, the guys don't know who I'm calling on for what team, but I'm just going to shoot the team out there. And Hank or Mike, whoever I call on, just give me a quick answer as to what they have to do to make the to win the division. And we'll start with you, Hank. What does Oakland have to do to win this division?
They're going to have to pitch, and they're going to have to play defense.
Okay.
They're going to have to score more runs than the other team. How's that?
Can you be any more general? Do they have to show up?
Look, they're gonna have to have a big year from Cespedes and their pitching staff. Period. They're gonna have to just score runs and basically have the same kind of year they had last year.
All right, Mike. What does LA have to do to win this division?
They got to play up to expectations. They got star power up there in the rotation. They also have it in the lineup. They got to keep guys healthy. They got to drive in those runs. That's the big thing for them. Pujols has to be hitting on all cylinders early, and same stuff. So people got to stay healthy. They got to do what they got to do. They have the most talent in the division. I think that's pretty clear.
Okay, Hank, tell me what it would take for Seattle to win this division.
You would have to take a total collapse of the three teams in front of them. a total collapse. And then they were going to have a monster season out of that team. So another pitcher is going to have to step up. And, again, it's just going to be they need the three teams in front of them to go crazy, just lose it.
Now, Seattle won about 12 in a row in spring training. Does that make you a believer at all?
No.
All right. Mike, what's it going to take for Houston to win this thing?
They're going to have to play in the AA Southern League. And they are fielding a Triple-A team. Everybody knows that. So they're not winning this division. They may keep it interesting to be around 500, possibly, by May, but it's fading fast from there.
I'm right there with you. And finally, Hank, Texas, what's it going to take for them to win it?
They're just going to have to play up to their expectations and not collapse down the stretch. Texas is good enough to win this division on their own, but they're going to have to be consistent throughout the year. They can't have any long lapses as they did last year, and they're just going to have to finish.
Cool. Well, let's jump on over to the NL West then, fellas. Same format, same routine. Who's your best player, Mike, in the NL West?
Wow, it's Matt Kemp. Come on, it's Hank's guy. It's his man crush. It's Matt Kemp.
Okay, Hank, any argument out of you?
You can get one out of me, but I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't say Matt Kemp. A healthy Matt Kemp is one of the best players in Major League Baseball.
Okay. Now, this is the thing for me, fellas. I wanted to go with Matt Kemp, and I was real close to going with Kemp. But you guys don't feel he's up and down? I mean, he had that one monster year in, what was that, 2011, 2012. He was hurt a bit. He had the Rihanna year where he was with Rihanna and his stats were way down. That doesn't bother you.
I love that.
That doesn't bother you guys when you're trying to anoint him the best player in the division? I mean, really, he's had one monster year?
Think about this, though, RJ. You can make that same argument for Buster Posey, okay, that he had a nice year, that he got injured, the Giants went down, he comes back, has a monster year, wins the MVP, and they win the World Series. You when you look at Matt Kemp, when you look at his body of work in the year that he should have won it, when Braun won it, you know, he was a Triple Crown candidate. He carried that team, which really wasn't nearly as talented as they are today. And when he went down, so did the prospects of the Dodgers last year. So yeah, you have to look at that whole thing. You know, just like with the Giants, with Posey, same thing with Kemp.
I wasn't even going Buster Posey. I wasn't going Posey. I took your argument. I looked at, you know, the career, and I went Troy Tulowski. This guy's had three or four seasons with a WAR over five, right around six. I mean, I know he was injured last year, but for my money, give me the shortstop who can hit and is going to, you know, play defense as well. Young guy, still in his prime. Tulowski, because he's a little more consistent, edged out Matt Kemp for me.
See, now, if you go back to Balt, that makes sense because RJ started his franchise with Troy Tulowski last year.
That's right. But, man, I don't see it. I mean, yeah. You're laying three players out there that all got injured, okay, and with the impact to their teams, you know, When I look at that, the only player that I can see that you can make that argument for is Buster Posey. I can't see you make that argument for Troy Tulowski. I mean, you can talk about his war, but whoever would have replaced him? You know, you can say that with Matt Kemp. I mean, my God, that team went south, and that man was putting up numbers that was literally keeping that team in a division race they didn't have a business being in a couple of years ago. So.
Hey, look at the numbers. That's all I have seen. Look at the numbers. Troy Tulowski.
Okay, what do we put his eyeballs?
I think you're forgetting about him because you haven't seen him in a while.
Huh?
Because he didn't play at all last year.
He didn't hardly play at all last year. But again, the when you start talking about the best player in the league, okay? I'm sorry. You know, I know baseball is a stats game, but numbers don't always tell the whole story. okay, then the impact that those players have on those teams, especially going down the stretch, tells a big story too. If that player ain't there, that team ain't the same team, okay? It's the same argument we make for the MVP, you know, the most valuable player. It's not all about a numbers game. You could do numbers all over the place. You know who had the highest WAR 2 years ago? Matt Zobrist. Where was he as far as any sort of best player argument?
Who is Matt Zobrist?
That's right. They played with the Tampa Bay Rays several years ago.
You mean Ben?
Zobrist. That's my point. You got me excited the first night. You know, we're still in spring training.
Okay.
Y'all know what I'm talking about.
All right. Who's your best pitcher, Hank?
Whoo! That's a tough one. Because I want to go with I'm going with Kershaw.
I'm going
with Clayton Kershaw. It's kind of hard not to look at somebody off of that Giant staff, but Clayton Kershaw is the man. And he's young. He's still getting it done. So that's what I'm sticking with. I stuck with him last year, and that's what I'm going with this year.
How about you, Mike?
I think Kershaw's solid. I mean, you could put him up with Kane, no problem. I'm comfortable with Kershaw. He's been, I think, consistently the best pitcher in the National League over the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm 3-for-3 with Kershaw. That was easy for me. Bullpen. Who you got with the best bullpen, Mike?
You know what? Once again, now that Wilson's gone and the Giants are going with bullpen by committee, that worked really, really well in the postseason for them last year. I think the Diamondbacks actually have the best bullpen. And the reason is I think they've got a plan in place. They've got three guys that have closed in the past. They've got J.J. Putz, Heath Bell, and David Hernandez. So three strong back of the bullpen type guys that they can put the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning, 1, 2, 3, and feel pretty comfortable with that. So I'll go with them.
Sneaky team. I picked them as well. I like where you're going with that. I've also got Arizona. They've got a nice bullpen, a lot of high strikeout guys. Had San Francisco kept Tim Lincecum in the bullpen like they did in the playoffs, I may have stuck with the Giants, but I'm going Arizona as well. How about you, Hank?
I'm going with the Giants. I think Romo came in and just, you know, it was like Wilson who, and you know they were solid in the playoffs last year, and they're coming back with that bullpen this year. So you know, and while Arizona's got some nice names, you know, but San Francisco has some nice results, so I'm going with them.
Best manager. I went Bruce Bochy. I don't think really that needs much explanation. Guys won 2 World Series thus far in San Fran. How about you, Hank?
I can't go with nobody but Bochy. He's the best manager in baseball right now. I mean, you know, the Giants came out of nowhere last year, you know, and they didn't quit. And, again, they looked just like they did a couple of years ago.
And Mike?
Yeah, 3-for-3.
Okay. Best GM. Who you got, Mike?
To me, I'm looking at Brian Sabian. I'm looking at Ned Coletti. Just because you got money doesn't make you good. So Ned Coletti had the opportunity to bring in some high-priced guys that were underperforming. And we see how well that worked out for Miami last year. So I'm going to go with Brian Sabian, who's been able to do it on a budget. He's built his team around pitching and clutch hitting. So, to me, it's Sabian.
Okay, I'm going to jump in there and give Hank some time to look his guy up. And I'm going to say Brian Sabian as well. You know, I sometimes criticize his moves. He likes to play a lot of older players versus young guys. But, you know, I can't argue with results. And he keeps winning. So, as long as he's winning, I got to go Sabes. Hank, have you found the pronunciation of your guy yet?
It's Ned Lewis Coletti. Thank you very much. I'm going with Ned Coletti for the Dodgers because, listen, I know you can't. You can say you can't build teams with money, but you know what? If you're a fan base and you got guys out there, it's not like he's getting guys that are just at the end of their careers out here. You know, Zach Greinke. You know, Adrian Gonzalez, who looked really good in the World Baseball Classic. And he's got some other pieces over there to go along with Matt Kemp and to go along with Kershaw. And, you know, you've got to sometimes pull the trigger. You know, one thing is we say, you know, money can't buy everything. But if you've got the money to do something and you do it, then, yeah, you know, you're trying to fortify your team. You can't take that away from the Dodgers. You can't take that away from Coletti and the ownership group for doing that. And they've made some incredible moves. They've got some more to make. But, you know, just with the moves they made, they have become, you know, at least the second best team in the West and probably a playoff contender this year.
How tough is it, Hank, to spend the most money, though?
Huh?
How tough is it to spend the most money?
Real tough, because you can spend the most money on the wrong players. You can spend the wrong money. Look, you can spend money on players that just ain't panning out, and like that's not going to pan out for you. Okay.
And
I'm looking at the players that they've got on that team. Okay, you got to handle
the wrong player like Kyle Crawford.
Pardon me, Kyle Crawford came to complete that deal. Okay, but listen, Kyle Crawford. Okay, he clearly did not fit in Boston, okay? He never got comfortable in Boston, all right? Now, Kyle Crawford is still, if he's healthy, again, and that's the big question mark on him, okay? But he came with a bag of balls to get Agon over there, okay? Him and Josh Beckett. I mean, those are two players that, you know, Josh Beckett, this is probably it for him, you know? But they were just bargaining tools. But you got to look at the rest of what they did, you know, with what they did with Greinke, what they did with Ramirez. Those are players on there that's going to be impact players for that team for a while. With Gonzalez and Kemp, that's going to be a formidable lineup to try to pitch around. You know, so you have to look at that. And plus, they fortified the pitching staff. I mean, they've got 8 starting damn pitchers. You know, and again, you've got moves you can make with that. So you have to look at the things that they're doing to try to build that team right now. You know, it's not for the long haul sometimes, but if you're trying to win a championship, you got to look at where the Dodgers came from. Yeah, that's a good move.
All right, for the sake of staying on this topic too long, we'll just agree to disagree. My issue with Nate Coletti is that, you know, he spent over $200 million, and he still got a lot of question marks. You mentioned the 8 starting pitchers he has. If he's such a GM, why isn't he moving some of those to acquire a catcher, to acquire a better bench, to acquire somebody in the outfield who can take over Andre Ethier, a guy that Ned Coletti signed to a long-term deal who really is not that good right now. So I've got some fundamental issue with Ned. I mean, you can look at Dodgers' past record while Ned's been there, and, you know, him being the best GM, that's highly questionable to me. But we'll agree to disagree, Hank. I don't want to pile off. Breakout player, Mike, who you got?
I'm going to go with Chase Headley. Not that he hasn't been doing it, but he's been doing it on the radar in San Diego for a while, putting up good power numbers in a park that usually doesn't do it. In fact, he was on pace a couple weeks. He was just knocking the cover off the ball for about a month and a half last year, just hitting everything. And I think if he didn't play in San Diego on one of the worst teams in the National League, everyone would know about this guy. But I think he continues and gets some more play this year.
Okay. Third base for the Padres. Who you got, Hank?
I'm going with, and it's not really a breakout because of the season he had last year, but I just think he's going to be more consistent. I'm going to go with Wade Miley. I think, you know, he flew under the radar so much because of what everybody, all the other rookies were doing last year. And he's got some real good numbers. And so I really look for him to really stick out even more so. And I guess when you have an all-star year, you can't call yourself a breakout. But I just look for him to just be that pitcher that, that you know, we're hearing a little bit more of versus, you know, for the first half of the season.
Yeah, with Wade, it's funny. He, you know, all-star game in his second in rookie of the year, but he really a lot of people didn't know that name. So maybe he will be a breakout. Maybe folks will finally started to learn his name. I can't argue with that one. I'm going, I stayed with the Diamondbacks, but I went with their first baseman, Paul Goldschmidt. The guy's built like Paul Bunyan. He's got a lot of power in the minor leagues. He slugged consistently around 600. Last year was his first full year in the bigs. I think he slugged around 490, close to 500. I see his power numbers going up, playing in a great hitter's park. I think Paul Goldschmidt's going to have a tremendous year this year. And that takes us to the fading star. And I'll lead off with my fading star. Definitely want to catch him now because I think his days are numbered, and as a guy who's just railing with Hank on, it's Carl Crawford. The guy is playing out in L.A. now. He's constantly been injured the past 2 years. His speed has deteriorated just a little bit. He's not the stolen base threat that he used to be in Tampa. And if he's not doing that, he doesn't get a lot of walks, so he's got to hit to get on base. He hasn't been doing that of late. So he's my pick for a fading star, and I think he'll be fading fast. How about you, Hank?
Oh, this is an easy one. It's Josh Beckett. If his star hasn't completely gone out before the season starts, but this is it for Beckett. I think that, you know, his best years is clearly behind him. You know, he once upon a time, if you could think about a young Josh Beckett with a Kershaw and a Greinke, you was like, you know, that's one of the best pitching staffs out there. But, you know, if he gets any time this year with all those eight pitchers, you know, consider it a victory to say you got a chance to see him.
All right. Mike, who you got? And there goes Mike again on mute.
Man, so it is preseason. Hanley Ramirez. I'm going Hanley Ramirez as my guy. You better watch now. He put on, he's maybe 20 pounds heavier than was maybe 2 years ago. He's lost speed. He was only an adequate shortstop even in his prime. And if the bat continues to not pick up for him, then he's certainly not playing at a superstar level. So I think this may be, you know, last 1 or 2 years where you see Hanley playing at least above average level.
So there you have it, listeners. We've each picked a different Los Angeles Dodger, but one thing they do have in common, they were all signed by Ned Coletti, one of the favorite GMs in the division. But I digress. Surprise team. I'm going Arizona. Who you got, Mike?
Arizona. And they do it every year, you know. It seems like every 2 out of 3 years, you look at that roster and you go, eh. And they come through and they just play consistent ball. And teams like that do well. Arizona as an organization doesn't blow you away. To me, they remind me, well, of maybe the Braves of the last couple years, where you look up and down that lineup and you go, okay. But they just win ball games. So I think Arizona continues to surprise.
Yeah, and it's a surprise for me. Like I said, they're always around there, but they traded away Justin Upton. I think a lot of people think that they'll fade, and I think that the acquisition of Martin Prado is it'll balance out, and they'll still have a good year. How about you, Hank? Who you got?
I got the Diamondbacks too, and don't forget they did sign Cody Ross too. So you know they're not a bad team anyway. Okay, and you know a lot of folks will say that they regressed last year, you know, finishing 500. They're going to scrap all year. Then they're going to be there all year. And so, you know, that's a good pick. I was Arizona as well.
Okay. And, Mike, tell me your largest question mark in the division.
I think it's Zach Greinke, to be honest with you. And maybe the Dodgers pitching staff in general. You've got Billingsley, you've got Beckett, you've got Greinke. You've got a lot of big names with some injury question marks. And I just mentioned Greinke specifically because he signed the big contract, and I think yesterday announced he's feeling some shoulder stiffness and some soreness up there, so they're going to shut him down, which is something you never want to hear in spring training, especially with a guy that you're paying $20 million a year.
Yeah, and I've gone on and on about the Dodgers. Didn't pick them last year, which Hank still owes me a soda pop for, but again, Dodgers are my question mark. They spend over $200 million. A team that spends over $200 million shouldn't have this many question marks. You don't know if Adrian Gonzalez is going to get back to the San Diego Padres. Adrian Gonzalez was 2 years ago. Hanley Ramirez, who knows what you're getting. Carl Crawford, question mark. It's just way too many question marks. They need A.J. Ellis to perform like he did last year at catcher. I just don't like the way that they spent that $200 million. So the Dodgers are my largest question as well. What about you, Hank?
Well, just a quick clarification. Zach Greinke had inflammation in his elbow. It wasn't his shoulders. That's they set him down for a couple of days. But as far as my question mark is, it's with the Dodgers, but it's not with the team. It's with Don Mattingly. I think that the question mark for me is, will he survive the season? Because they signed a bunch of players last year with the expectation of pushing the Giants, and they actually somewhat collapsed. So I'm looking at him being the first casualty if this team starts off slowly. $200 million, you're absolutely right. There's going to be some huge expectations over there. And if they don't meet those expectations somewhat, I think Mattingly is going to be the first hit on the chopping block.
Indeed. So with that being said, Hank, tell me how this division finishes up. Who you got? One through five.
Okay, listen, I'm taking the Giants. You can't come past the world champions. Then I'm going with the Dodgers. Okay, $200 million gets you to second place. Then I'm going with the Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm going with the San Diego Padres and the Colorado Rockies, just like last year.
I got San Francisco in first, followed by the Diamondbacks, then the Dodgers in third, San Diego Padres fourth, Colorado five. What say you, Mike?
I'm just slightly different than you guys. San Francisco, I think the Dodgers doing their best L.A. Angels impression last year of doing just enough not to make the playoffs. The third place, you know what, I just kind of changed my mind. I like the Padres for third place. I think they got some young hitters on their team. They're in a pitcher's ballpark. They're going to be able to score a little bit of runs there and, you know, win some 3-2 ball games. I like them for third place. It really even with Arizona and then Colorado bringing up the rear. But I think this is a division where you may have four teams at or above 500, but nobody just knocking it out of the park. You know what I mean? Kind of a middling division that's up in the air, you know, 2 weeks before the season ends and really anybody's game.
Yeah, not too crazy. I was just reading the newsletter by Joe Sheehan today. He writes for SI, Sports Illustrated, he does his own newsletter, and he actually picked the Padres to win this division. He likes the young talent that they have. So, you know, keep your eye on the Padres. They could be a surprise team as well in that division. Mike, how many playoff teams do you have in that division?
I've got one. There's too much strength in the other divisions.
Okay. Who you got, Hank? How many?
I got two. I can't cut loose the Dodgers yet. I believe they're just going to make some more moves. They got too many pieces not to make a move, and I think they're going to make the playoffs again. So I'm wrong last year. I'm going to give it a shot again this year.
And I'm not in love with the division. I think it could be a toss-up between a couple. Nobody really running away with it. So I'd say the Giants are the only team that gets in as well. It's a lot of quality ball clubs in the other divisions. And that's going to wrap it up for tonight, listeners. Next week, please tune back in. We're gonna probably hit the AL Central and the NL Central, same format. Give Mike opportunity to give his Cincinnati Reds some love. Real quick, anybody? Hank, you into?
Thank you.
Are you feeling this WBC at all? Yay or nay?
Absolutely, I am. You know what? It's fun to watch some real baseball. You know, they're playing competitive baseball. I know it's in the spring, but it's competitive baseball. Those teams are trying. They look good. It's a lot of fun to watch this early in March.
Yeah, it's been getting me by. You know, I can't really do spring training once the starters get out, so WBC's been saving me. It is some competitive ball. Do check it out. And please, come back next week, same time, 9:30. We will be on the air talking AL Central and NL Central, y'all. Appreciate the love. Peace. You there? Mike, you there? Hello? Hank, you there? You guys there or are you gone?